American Indians used to be called the Vanishing Americans, but their population is growing, and nearly two-thirds live off the reservations, many in cities. The change began nearly 50 years ago. Like immigrants in a new land, the first urban Indians struggled with their identity. Generations later, the question, who is Indian, has been complicated by a new set of circumstances. NPR's Cheryl Corley talked to urban Indians in Chicago for this segment in the series on the changing face of America.
In Lisa Burnell's living room, her one-and-a-half-year-old son, Sean, stops playing for a moment, leaving his large inflatable toy house to watch a music video.
If he'll start dancing, he might not. Sometimes he gets shy.
His father, Sean Sr., urges him to dance while Lisa looks on.
Anything with a little beat to it, and he'll start his little bounce thing going.
Burnell, who is 26, used to be quite active in Chicago's native community, participating in powwows and teaching others how to dance. But her family and her part-time job as a bookkeeper and pharmacy technician keeps her busy. She is a mixed blood, her father Mexican, her mother a South Dakota Sioux. Burnell grew up in Phoenix and Chicago.
When I was in elementary school in Phoenix, because Phoenix is primarily native, I guess I was trying to let them know that, yeah, I was part Mexican too. And then when I came to Chicago, everybody identifies me as being Spanish.
Burnell says in Chicago, Native Americans aren't often recognized, but she identifies herself as Native American, and she's enrolled as a member at a small reservation in South Dakota.
They registered me as a quarter, a little over a quarter, like a third Indian. I tried to register my son, but he doesn't have enough blood to enroll him, but they acknowledge him as a dependent of us, so they keep that on record.
Tribes enroll people as members based on the percentage of Indian blood a person has. Although it varies from tribe to tribe, a person's blood quantum, as it's called, typically has to be at least a quarter in order to be enrolled. Some tribes have opted to lower that standard so they are not bled out of existence. And many American Indians, like Lisa, say they seriously consider only marrying one of their own.
Because I kind of wanted to keep the bloodline, even though it wouldn't have been full, because myself I'm not full, but I wanted to keep the bloodline as much as possible.
But she fell in love with her husband, who is Irish. And Sean Jr., with his light brown hair and blue eyes, is an example of how so-called mixed bloods have become an increasing part of the urban Indian community. The mass movement of Native Americans to cities began in the 1950s under a program called Relocation and later Employment Assistance. Reservations were ravaged by poverty and high unemployment after World War II, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs offered vocational training and assistance in finding a job to those who left. University of Kansas history professor Donald Fixico says the urban migrants traveled to Chicago, Los Angeles, Denver, Minneapolis, and for many, it was a disaster.
Many had never been in a large city before. Many had been veterans and only passed through certain cities like Chicago. They found themselves really kind of ostracized by the urban mainstream, like any new immigrant coming to an urban city or a town.
Some remained mired in poverty. Others succumbed to alcohol. Some returned home, but enough remained to establish a presence in Chicago and other relocation cities. Now it's estimated about 15,000 Native Americans live in the Chicago area. For years, the center of the community was Chicago's Uptown neighborhood, and it's still home to many organizations. The American Indian Center on Wilson Avenue was founded in 1953. It was a gathering place which spurred intertribal connections, a new Native community, a pan-Indian consciousness. In the 1950s and 60s, the facility was like a remedy for estranged Native Americans who sought each other out there. Now, a new generation comes to meet with and work with elders, to talk amongst themselves, to dance and drum. 22-year-old Ansel Dion, part of the United Natives of Chicago's Youth Council, says the center is important.
Living on the res, you have your own family there. You know, you have your family, your relations. Here, you have a family too, which comes here, you know, and actually does stuff. As we grew up, or as I was taught, is that no matter what tribe somebody is, you know, they're still related to me because they are Native.
And 16-year-old Raven Roberts says the center is still a necessary refuge for a community often dwarfed by the size of other ethnic groups.
Because when people look at us, they see Mexican, Puerto Rican, they see that, and they're like, oh, you're Mexican? I'm like, no. They're like, then what are you? And they sit there and then you tell them, and they don't believe you. You got to prove it to them. And I shouldn't have to prove anything to nobody because I know who I am.
I was in shock about being a Native American.
R.J. Smith is the director of the Youth Council.
It wasn't, you know, a sense of shame, but it was more of I didn't understand why people needed to know what I was anyway. I do realize that I was searching for something in my younger years, you know, because I was never really comfortable with my surroundings, I guess I could say. All my friends pretty much were non-Native unless they were my family.
RJ says he knows plenty of other Native Americans who were in similar situations, in a way fulfilling the call for assimilation. But RJ, a third-generation urban Indian, has come full circle.
Take it away, gentlemen. Shkipa Maji, four times through.
Dressed in full regalia, RJ and members of the Urban Natives of Chicago drummed, sang, and danced at a recent American Indian Center powwow. RJ is not enrolled in a tribe as a full member. The Ojibwe Lakotere Reservation says he does not have sufficient blood quantum. Even so, RJ says he has gradually fallen into his community.
It's just been one thing leading to the next, you know. I started learning how to dance, and from then on, it's just been one more. That life has been added on to, you know, people drew me into the powwow circle. You know, when people saw that I was trying to live that life and that I wanted to do that, you know, they aided me along that way. My family aided me along that way.
The Native American community has changed in cities. There is now an American Indian middle class, and individuals have scattered from neighborhood enclaves. Powwows are considered touchstones, a way to continue making social and cultural contact with other Native Americans. RJ attends a number of powwows, along with his wife, his two-year-old daughter, his mother, and occasionally his grandmother, Beatrice Stewart. After retiring, Stewart moved back to the Ojibwe Reservation, hundreds of miles away in the northern woods of Wisconsin.
The sister you're going to meet down this way moved here from Connecticut.
Stewart lives on land near several sisters and brothers who have also returned from cities.
My husband did all the surveying on this property here. That was a lot of work.
Despite changes in the city, it still remains the reservation where in many ways the identity search for urban Indians both begins and ends. And Stewart says she wants her tribal government to change its blood percentage regulations so her grandson can enroll.
He is an Indian because he looks like a full blood. That's what people think he is when they see him. But I don't know how much Indian blood he has in him. I'll show you my grandfather's picture up here.
Okay.
There he is. I think he takes after him.
Stewart says her grandson will still have a native home. She's willed her land to him and her daughter. But while connections to reservations remain strong for many urban natives, American Indians who live in cities have created a new urban sense of identity. Some call it biculturalism, where Native Americans, often ignored as a group by the mainstream, have learned to adjust to urban life while retaining their cultural ways. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.